ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 1, titled Questions by the Sages, Text Number 10. So, this is a very famous verse. Prayenal Paisha Sabhya Kalavasmin Yuge Janaha Mandasu Manda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadrutaha. Prayena, almost always. Alpa, meager. Ayusha, duration of life. Sabhya, member of a learned society. Kalau, in this age of Kali, quarrel. Asmin, herein. Yuge, age. Janaha, the public. Mandaha, lazy. Sumanda Mataya, misguided. Manda Bhagyaha, unlucky. He, and above all. Upadrutaha, disturbed. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. When the sages of Naimisharanya analyze the state of affairs of the people in this age of Kali, they foresaw that men would live short lives. In Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shortened not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over-sense gratification, over-dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. Human life is the means by which the living entity can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know about it, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachers. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad association, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickering, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of anxieties due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths which are not based on any revealed scriptures. And very often people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on that the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student brahmachari communities are no longer being maintained. and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the Grihastha ashram. Consequently, the so-called vanaprasthas and sannyasis who come out of such Grihastha ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. In the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization. For the maintenance of such material civilizations, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It has become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standard due to the present distorted values of human society. The sages of Naimisharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls, and here they are seeking the remedy from Srila Suta Goswami. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shulakaya Chakshur Unmiltamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangum Nangayate Giram Yat Krita What's the third? Divachanam Pangum Nangayate Giram Yat Kripatamam Vande Shri Guru Dinatharanam Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, the author. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we are in the 10th verse of the first chapter, and this is a very famous verse. This verse has been quoted in this temple countless times, and even if you hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, though he didn't speak on this verse in the Vedavas, I didn't find any lecture on this verse, but time and time again Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse. So far what's been happening is we heard the Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasadeva was opened the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we are taken to the sitting in Naimisharanya where there's a 1,000-year sacrifice being performed by sages for the upliftment of the citizens of Kali Yuga. And then then one morning they offer a seat of esteem or a Vyasasan to Srila Suta Goswami. So there they, in the past few verses, they glorify the different qualities of Suta Goswami, which show that he's actually qualified to sit on the Vyasasan and speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the previous few verses, we saw what qualities one should have to sit on the Vyasasan. And as Keshava Prabhu was mentioning on Tuesday, that actually we do not have the qualification to sit on the Vyasasan. It's simply on the instruction of a guru and our senior authorities that we are sitting here and attempting to recite on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the previous verse, which was done yesterday, this chapter is entitled The Questions by the Sages. So in this chapter, 6 questions are asked. And in the previous verse, the first question was asked by the sages to Srila Suta Goswami. Now they ask that, please explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the ultimate, the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. So, and then in the next verse we see that, which will occur tomorrow, that they actually inquire what is the essence of all the scriptures. So before they ask that question, they are informing Suta Goswami of the characteristics of this age, although he knows about it. So they want to know the ultimate good for the people, but keeping in mind the time, place and circumstance. So this verse actually outlines the condition of this day and age in which we are residing, Kali Yuga. So, and we can actually see that this verse has come to pass. In other words, this verse has actually come true. So, if we analyze the state of affairs in this day and age, we find that people have short lives, they're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. And as Kali Yuga progresses, we'll see that, you know, this actually becomes more and more intensified. So, of course, the sages, by their sharp vision, they could foresee into the future. Just like an astrologer, when he looks at somebody's hand or a chart, they can foresee in the future. So at that time, Kali Yuga was just right at its beginning. And they could foresee the characteristics of this age. And we also see Maharaj Yudhishthir, when Arjuna went to Dwarka, from Hastinapur, I think, right? Yeah, he went to Dwarka to find out what's the next plan of the Lord and to inquire into the welfare of his friends. So Arjuna went to Dwarka and he didn't return for 7 months. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira was very anxious and he saw various kinds of omens which indicated that Lord Krishna had disappeared and that the age of Kali had descended. And of some of the symptoms he saw that there was a lot of cheating going on in society. Greed had increased, pride had increased. And also he saw that one of the main characteristics of the age of Kali is quarrels. Kali means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So he saw that there was quarrel, there was misunderstanding in families, in society, and even between husband and wife. So by these symptoms he could see that the age of Kali had descended. So, as described in the previous verse, also here it says that the devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. So the sages of Naimisharanya, because they are very anxious, they are very anxious for the spiritual upliftment of people. And was, as it was being mentioned yesterday, that material well-being follows spiritual well-being. So spiritual well-being leads to material well-being also. So therefore the sages want to address the problem at the root. So if because they know if the spiritual situation is set, if people are God conscious, they are spiritually minded, Krishna conscious, then as a result even their material problems will be solved. So this, because the sages are very very compassionate, that therefore they are asking to please explain the essence of the scriptures and what is the ultimate good in such a way that people can easily understand it. So in other words, they are keeping the desha, kala and patra into mind. They are keeping the time, place and circumstance. So in any activity we do, we always have to keep in mind the time, place and circumstance. Whether it is preaching or even whether you are running a business or whether you have your own clinic or whatever. You have to be mindful of the time, place and circumstance. That's how you can be very efficient in whatever you're doing. So the same principle is being applied here. They want to know, they are actually outlining the time, place and circumstance, and according to that they're asking Sutta Goswami to present in an easily understandable way what is the ultimate good for people. So how to help people. So in other words, they have this mood of urgency. This mood of urgency is there. We see in the lives of great devotees, acharyas and gurus, that they always have this mood of urgency to spread Krishna consciousness. Because they have a transcendental vision, they have this mood of urgency. So we see in the Lord Himself, who is the Adi Guru, Krishna. He comes once in a day of Brahma to give these teachings and to make people God conscious. Then we see Krishna sends his acharyas. He compiled the Bhagavatam. He sent all the Vedas forth. And also we see in our disciplic succession, we can see the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is from the Leela Amrita. This is back in 1935 November, when Srila Prabhupada, after he's been initiated, he went to Vrindavan to meet his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he had the opportunity to be alone with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And he was with his son and they were strolling on the banks of the river Yamuna. And there, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually very, very concerned. He was saying that some senior men in his Gauriya Math movement have become greedy for possessions, because before they were operating from Ulta Ranga temple, which was a small temple, but then they bought the temple in Bagh Bazar, that huge temple. So then some of the senior leaders were attracted to the facilities. He said they're attracted to the stones and bricks of the building. So they're saying, we want this room, we want that facility. So he was very, very concerned because they have the mood of urgency to give Krishna consciousness. So whether it's a big temple or a lot of facility is a means to give Krishna consciousness to others. So he said that basically that there's a fire in the mud. There's a fire of different party interests. So, and he told Prabhupada, if you ever get money, just print books. So here we can see this mood of urgency in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he felt this need out of compassion to give Krishna consciousness to others, because he, you know, because of the conditions outlined here. And then also we see a year later, in December 1936, when his health was very, very poor, and that time he was in Jagannath Puri, and then Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj asking what he can do to please him. Basically what he wrote was, he said, you know, I'm a grihastha, I cannot render to you any direct service. You know, the brahmacharis and sannyasis are rendering direct service, but you know, all I can do is give some monetary help and do something here and there. But then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj replied to him 2 weeks later, though he was so sick. He said that, I'm fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general as well as philosophers and religionists. So here you can see the mood of urgency in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this was the very same instruction Srila Prabhupada got when he met his Guru Maharaj the very first time in Calcutta. So when he offered obeisances and got up, this was the same instruction that he got. And now, several years later, he got the same instruction, and this confirmed that what his mission in life was. And then, we know on the 1st of January 1937, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj left this planet, went back to spiritual world. But before he left his body, in the very last few days, this is what he told his leading disciples. So again, here we can see the mood of urgency. He said, I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not please give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of Godhead. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. So, the very first few words were, I advise all of you to preach. So again, we can see his urgency because of his transcendental vision. And then, as he was passing away, the last words he said were, he said, you know, please set my blessings to you all, present and absent. Please bear in mind that a sole duty and religion is to spread and propagate service to the Lord and of his devotees. So we also see the mood of urgency in Srila Prabhupada. If we listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, you can feel this mood of urgency in Prabhupada's tone. And if we read his books over and over again, you know, the mood and mission comes out. So we can see how Prabhupada, sometimes he writes, you know, it's very, very urgent to spread this movement. So that's because of their, because these great acharyas and devotees have a transcendental vision. They can actually see that how, because of identification with the body, people are actually suffering. So out of their compassion, they try to help everyone. And we see when Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, I'm an old man, I can pass away at any moment. So that even made his urgency even more stronger, because he knew he had very few years left and there was a lot which need to be established. And we see Srila Prabhupada gave us the framework. So he knew in the future many people would be interested in Krishna consciousness. So, and therefore Srila Prabhupada really pushed his devotees to establish Krishna consciousness. He pushed them out of their comfort zone, and they did a lot. They did huge, you know, beyond their capacity and ability. So Prabhupada empowered them, and he set up the whole framework within a short span of 12 years. He gave us deity worship, he gave us temples, he gave us Varnashram. He wrote all the books translated with the very basis of this entire movement. And he gave... Sorry? Gurukul. He gave the Gurukuls. So he basically, Srila Prabhupada set up the entire framework and he left for his disciples and grand disciples to fill that structure and to develop it. So here in this verse we can see... this verse actually outlines the characteristics of this age of Kali. So here it says that in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. So now we are situated in Kali Yuga. So it's called this iron age of Kali. So there are four ages: Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. So the Satya Yuga is like the golden age. Then the Treta, silver, Dwapara, copper. Is that right? Copper, and Kali Yuga is the iron. So you can see even in the metals, there are different gradations from, you know, from the pure to the, you know, degrading in quality. So of course, even it's a compliment to say iron age of Kali, because these days everything is plastic. If you see even, you know, iron, you don't find much. Things are, even if you see the cars, before they were made out of iron, and now there's so much plastic being added. So everything is, in this age of Kali, everything is being degraded in potency. The land, the milk, everything. So, and here it says, men have but short lives. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how we have short lives. So short lives, Prabhupada says, is not because of insufficient food. Okay, in some parts of the world, there is famine and there is a shortage of food and people are dying prematurely. But, you know, in other parts of the world, like Australia, there is sufficient food. But still, if you see, the lifespan is short. Of course, they say that, you know, we live for 60, 70, 80 years, many people live. But that is also because of, you know, then you also have to look at the quality of their lives. When people hit in their 60s, 70s, they retire in old age homes and they are pumped with so many kinds of chemicals. In one of the retreats, His Holiness Devamitra Swami, he showed about old age. And he showed these nursing homes in America where people are pretty much dumped. And they are simply living because of the drugs. But their life is actually miserable. So if you factor in the number of abortions and everything, the duration of life is actually short. If you statistically, if you enter the number of abortions, then the duration of life comes much lower. So here it says that our duration of life is shortened because of insufficient food and because of irregular habits. So, we see these days, people eat all kinds of food. People are very irregular in their habits. So, junk food is very, very common. McDonald's, KFC, Hungry Jack's, you name it, you go outside. So many kinds of junk food, processed foods. And if you eat a lot of refined sugar, or, you know, fats which are highly saturated fats, or a meat and animal-based diet. So we see food can be a means of sustenance, but at the same time, food can also kill you. Food can nourish you or sustain you, or food can even kill you. So it depends on how we take the food, in what quantity, and when we take it also. So we see that people have, in this day and age, people are very, very irregular in their habits. There's no proper time of waking up. People are eating all throughout the day, 5-6 times in a day. And people are eating while driving, or and then it says, because of artificial standards of living, also saps the very vitality of human beings. So these days life is pretty much very an artificial standard of living. So we are living in cities which are very polluted. So that reduces our lifespan. So we are used to the comforts of modern civilization. Cars, computers. For everything there's a machine. Anything you need, from brushing your teeth to washing your clothes. For everything there's a machine. So what happens is that the human body, you know, it's not used. It's not exercised. And therefore we develop diseases. So in this way, the very vitality of the human life is sapped out. And also, an increase in affluence also leads to more diseases. As we see, like in India, it's an economic boom. But then there are certain diseases which are linked to affluence. Now, you see, before the diseases were like tuberculosis, maybe malaria for the common people. But now for those who are middle class or affluent, they are dying of heart diseases because they are eating too much, or they are eating all kinds of junk because they have this disposable income. Or there's even obesity is increasing all over the world. We see in Australia so many people are obese. Even in India so many people are obese. In America so much obesity. So because of an increase of affluence, it's also leading to so many diseases which reduce the duration of life. But as Ayurveda says, that our body is made up of, it's like basically vita, vata and kapha. So when there is an imbalance in the air, the heat of the body or the watery element, it leads to so many kinds of diseases which reduce the duration of life. So so in this day and age we see that even the very basics of living people have forgotten. So this is the state of affairs. So these are just like very basics, as Keshav Prabhu was mentioning, that if you eat properly and you regulate your life, you will be very healthy. And then it says that kala vasmin yuge janaha manda. Manda means lazy. So here it says, not only are people materially lazy, but people are even spiritually lazy. So of course, laziness indicates tamogun, the mode of ignorance. So that's madness, indolence, laziness. So there are some people who are very lazy, even materially speaking. They can't be bothered. So, you know, they don't want to work, have everything very easy, or they can't be bothered to look after their body's needs. So this is an indication of the mode of ignorance. But a lot of people are quite active. And so, in other words, they're not materially lazy, but they're spiritually lazy. So there are actually four kinds of people. There is the lazy intelligent, there is the busy intelligent, there is the what's that? No, lazy fool and active fool. So there's the lazy intelligent, busy intelligent, then the lazy fool and the active fool. So the lazy intelligent, okay, I'll start from the bottom, from the fourth. This is in gradation, 1, 2, 3, 4. So the fourth is the active fool, and higher than that is the lazy fool. So, as mentioned in Sri Ishopanishad, in the 9th mantra, that those who engage in the activities of nescience go to hell, but worse than those are who, encourage people by cultivating such kind of knowledge in the activities of nescience. So their destination is even worse. So here, the lazy fool refers to people who are into sense gratification, whose aim in life is basically to gratify the senses, and have a good time. So the vast majority of people are like that. But then there are the active fools. So the active fools are those who encourage such a kind of a lifestyle. So Prabhupada compares the active fool to a monkey. So if we analyze the activities of a monkey is always jumping from one branch to another. But it is only causing nothing but mischief. So you can go to Vrindavan or, you know, some parts in India, there are a lot of monkeys everywhere. And the monkeys cause nothing but mischief. You know, Gopa Mindishri had that experience. We went there to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, and there a monkey came and snatched his glasses. And then the monkey climbed the Samadhi and he's chewing the glasses. So it took us a while to find a banana or something to swap, but by then the glasses were finished. So we see the monkeys cause, it's an active fool. It's causing nothing but mischief. So better than that is to be a fool. Okay, you're lazy, but you know, you're not active. That way you're not causing so much harm. So we see material education is compared to that. So why is all this laziness being caused? As Prabhupada says here, because of a bad system of education. So we see because of modern education, it is causing this laziness in terms of this people's spiritual life. So if you ask someone, if you invite someone to come and listen to a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, they'll say no time. If you ask them to buy a book, no time. To read something, no time. For everything else, they have time. So people are very, very slow, manda for the spiritual life. For everything else, they have time and they're very eager to do it. So why is that? Because of a bad system of education in which the value of the human form of life is not being made aware of. So because people don't know what the value of this human form of life is. So this human form of life which we have is a great asset, though it is temporary, but it gives us the eternal. So the human form of life can enable us to understand who we are, what is the relationship with Krishna, who is Krishna, and how to serve him, and to understand the nature of this world. So modern education, apart from this, is teaching everything else. And in other words, that is not vidya, that is avidya. So from the standpoint of Vedic scriptures, that is simply ignorance. Knowledge means those 19 items of knowledge which are described in Bhagavad Gita. So apart from that, everything else is avidya. So all these big universities, they're just making people simply ignorant. And the result of that is, not only do they lose their desire for self-realization, but when you tell them anything about self-realization, they become averse to it. Rather, they bark back at you. So if you try to help them, it's very, very difficult. And it makes them very, very proud and arrogant. So the fact that we are in this material world is because of pride and envy. So that all that pride and envy and arrogance is simply enhanced by material education. So people get this sense of pride that because of a little bit of education, they know everything. So we can see that, you know, like recently we've been going to University of Melbourne and I was talking to some students. Though they're highly intelligent, they're very, very intelligent, very sharp, but they're actually very proud and very arrogant. So all this education is making them extremely proud. So they think, and they were actually telling us to what kind of books to read to boost our spiritual life. So also here, then it mentions that people are quarrelsome in this day and age. They're misguided. unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So we see people in this day and age are so much disturbed. I was reading one letter by Srila Prabhupada. He said, in this day and age, people are primarily disturbed by two things. One is food, lack of food, famine. Other is taxation. So we see the taxes are very, very high all over the world. In Australia, 30% of the income goes in tax. Or if you fall under the high brackets, then maybe 48%. So people are actually harassed by taxation. And by even in Australia, people are disturbed because of, though there is ample food, but food is very expensive. Or they don't get good quality food. And here Prabhupada mentions different kinds of diversions like cinema, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad associations, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickering, and so on. So, if you take away money and intoxication, or the endeavor to make money and intoxication, people don't know what to do with their lives. You know, there'll be a big vacuum in their lives, and it's like, what's next? Just imagine in Victoria, tomorrow if there's no intoxication, all the bars and pubs and driveways, you know, liquor shops close. You know, people will go mad. Because money is a means by which people can cover the truth of material existence. So, if people don't have money or they're not engaged in the endeavor to make money, you know, then they are actually faced with the reality of what life is all about. So as Srimad Bhagavatam describes in the second canto, the life of an envious materialist. In the daytime they are engaged in making money or maintaining family members, and at the night time either they are sleeping or they are having sex. So that's the life of an envious householder, it's described. So if you take away money and intoxication, there's nothing left. So according to Bhagavatam, that and on top of that, people are thinking that they're making so much advancement. So in this day and age, everyone is very, very proud that material society is very, very advanced. And especially in India, they're looking to the West. They're very proud of the economic boom. You know, when I went to India, I felt this sense of pride in people. Just going around Delhi and the streets and people going on these, you know, brand new freeways, driving in their nice cars. There was this sense of pride that, you know, we have made a lot of advancement. But the truth is the exact opposite. Just because people have some material education, you know, nice house or nice facilities, they think they have made advancement. But according to Bhagavatam, that civilization is at its lowest point. It hasn't made any advancement. And when people, as mentioned in the purport here, that by engaging in sense gratification, they actually, there is neither peace of mind nor health of body. So, when we indulge in material indulgence or sense gratification, that not only destroys the body, but even covers our ability to see what is actually taking place. But people think that they are enjoying. So there are these four barriers to our happiness: birth, death, old age, and disease. So when there is birth, death, old age, and disease, one cannot be really happy. And on top of that, the threefold miseries. But still, people think that they can find happiness. Or even we could be thinking like that. Not only people. This verse can even apply to devotees. If we don't make proper use of our time in Krishna consciousness, we could be unlucky also. So, but we are thinking that we'll actually find happiness in spite of there is birth, death, old age, and disease. And so people, their whole life, we see people, some people, when we grow up, so we waste the time in childish pursuits, crying, wanting food. And then as we grow up more, then we get into sports, the footy or with our friends, and then you grow up more, you hit adolescence, then the opposite sex becomes very attractive. And then we are engaged in those kind of pursuits. And meanwhile, we are engaged in career, and after that, when we want money to maintain all of that. And to make, and money also gives a flavor in those very same activities, because those activities after a while they get stale. So money gives that ability to do those same activities in different places and to bring that sense of freshness, which is actually taken away by time. And then when people hit their 30s, then they get into the family scene. They want children and house and they want to settle down in the world. And when they're in their 40s, 50s, then they are concerned about the world. What's happening to this planet? Everyone is destroying it. Before they were doing the very same things, but they didn't give a damn about it. But now they're concerned about the world. And when they are in their late, when they're in 60s, 70s, then, ouch, ooh, ah, their own body, you know. Their body, you know, all their concern is about themselves. Their body is giving so much trouble. So in this way, people are wasting their lives, and they're thinking that they're actually making advancement and they're happy. But it's the greatest tragedy to not know after death where are they heading. That's the greatest tragedy. We might be hearing these points again and again in class, but as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, that one of the items of knowledge is to perceive the evils of birth, death, old age and disease. So we actually have to develop this, as devotees we have to develop this perception that these are actually real, these are the real problems of life. And we have to make a solution for that. And by engaging in sense gratification, the illusion is that people think that they're having a good time, but in actuality they're destroying their body. The example is given of a camel. The camel likes to chew thorns. So the camel is thinking, while I'm chewing the thorns, so as he's chewing the thorns, his tongue gets cut and all this blood comes out. And to the camel, the blood seems like nectar. But what is happening, he's actually destroying himself. So material happiness is like that. By engaging in that, it gives a sense of a momentary pleasure. But in reality, it actually destroys the body and mind. And we see that these days there's so much, because of sense gratification, people actually not only destroy themselves physically, their bodies are weak, you know, they've lost their luster, but people even destroy themselves mentally. So we see in today's day and age, the mental illnesses have increased. Mental illness is number 2 in the world after cardiovascular illnesses. So is that right, Mahatma Prabhu? So that's number 2 in the world. And so this is as a result of sense gratification. And then on top of that, people lose the ability to see what's actually happening. While all of this is going on, they're thinking that they're enjoying and they cannot see that they're destroying themselves. So when people, because of all of this, it becomes very difficult for people to take up spiritual life, and therefore the sages are asking how to disentangle the souls. So you can imagine, entangle means like a fly is entangled in a net of the web of a spider, like that people are, we are entangled. So the sages are anxious to disentangle the conditioned souls. So we find that when people come to Krishna consciousness, they come with this baggage in which they are an emotional and a physical wreck. So the spiritual master has to be very expert in administering the medicine of Krishna consciousness. So therefore we see it actually takes people a few years to get back their health and sort themselves out before they can actually fully apply themselves to bhakti. So what's the hope for people? As in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam it says, what's that verse? only good thing is chanting. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hi eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangat param rajet. That this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there's only one good quality, which is by chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can achieve all perfection. So as also, one of the six, the last question in this chapter is that, now that, you know, Krishna has left, where have the principles of religion gone? Where have they taken shelter? And then towards the end of the third chapter, it's said that this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So in other words, this Bhagavatam is the hope for people in this day and age. So as Krishna left, Bhagavatam is not, as His Holiness Devamrita Swami was mentioning, it's not only the word of God, but it is God Himself in the literary incarnation. So when we actually pay heed to the messages of Bhagavatam, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, or when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, we are actually associating with Krishna. And then therefore, all our heart's desires are being fulfilled by having this emotional exchange with Krishna, who is, therefore in Bhagavatam, we can experience all the rasas of the personality of God in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna Himself. So there are actually there are so many points in this verse. If one could elaborate on all of on them, it will take a lot of time. And said furthermore that material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness, which we can see. The Varnashram has fallen apart, as mentioned here. There's no proper brahmachari grihastha ashram, and therefore the result is varna shankara, unwanted population. And there is, because of the standard of sense gratification, therefore the societies are very, very complex, the way they are structured. So even we see, even now, the economic system is so complex that nobody understands it. Even the best economists of the world, who are getting paid millions of dollars, or those students in universities, entire departments are dedicated to the study of money or economics. But nobody has any clue of how money works in this day and age. It is so complex, as Prabhupada says. They have built very complex nations and communities. So it's actually a very, very difficult situation. But by actually taking shelter of the Maha Mantra, we can actually make a solution to all these problems under the guidance of an expert spiritual master. So I'll stop here and see if there's any questions, comments or corrections. Yes, Prabhu.
Was there any time in history when the whole civilization was Krishna conscious?
Was there a history of when the entire civilization? Yes, there is. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, nice question. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, of course in Satya Yuga everyone was Krishna conscious, but then by the influence of time, the ages got degraded. So Satya Yuga was the age of Paramahamsas. Everyone was fully God conscious. Everyone. And then Treta Yuga, it decreased by 25% religion, then more by 25%, then in Kali Yuga it's only 25%. But even then, you see, 5,000 years ago, during the rule of Maharaj Yudhishthir, that time everyone was God conscious. But then, you know, then even when Maharaj Parikshit was the king, everyone was God conscious in the entire civilization all over the planet. But then Kali Yuga had to enter, and then things started to degrade. Yeah, there has been times when God conscious. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji.
One comment is about misguided society. So, if we go through the Prashabdev teaching, in Canto of Human Rasa, he tells the human life how important it is, how we are utilized.
Yes.
So that we don't get misguided.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. So we are being, says, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachers, even if they come to know about spiritual life. So we are misguided by mundane education, but if someone wants to get into spirituality, they get misguided by all these bogus gurus and teachers on so many volumes of books written on spirituality, new age books, and people get misguided. Yeah, so therefore we are very unlucky. Anything else? Okay, Granthra Srila Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.